appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this morning. It's always a pleasure to come here and worship with the saints that attend here. And Desmond, that was a beautiful prayer. Thank you so much. Go ahead and be turning to Isaiah chapter 58. Last month, we Americans celebrated our Independence Day. And for most of the country, there were themes of freedom and liberty all throughout the airwaves and social media and the internet. And it got me thinking, what does the Bible say about freedom and liberty? So I read through all the times the Bible mentions those two words and try to get a comprehensive idea of what God has to say on the matter. But first, let's get to a basic understanding of the terms. As I read them, consider what they mean for our country, but also what they mean and how they apply to us as Christians. According to the Oxford Dictionary, freedom is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. Absence of subjection. And the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. So there are physical interpretations of this or understandings of this concept of freedom. There are political, and then there are just aphysical understandings. For liberty, Oxford says, the state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views. The power or scope to act as one pleases. And so it's basically a state of being. These are very American ideas, baked into our Constitution and our way of life. But does our American understanding translate perfectly over to our Christian understanding of freedom? I argue that it does not. As Christians, we need to rethink our concept of freedom. Like a Venn diagram, sometimes it overlaps with an American understanding of it, but not always. Part of the issue is that freedom can mean I don't put air quotes to say that we don't have freedom. I mean, the term freedom can mean different things to different people. I certainly can't say what it means to everyone, only to me, based on my background, my upbringing, and my experiences in life. To some, the idea of freedom means being free to do whatever they want to do without consequences. And in many cases, they are correct. There can be good outcomes to that. It means that we are able to freely worship without fear of persecution or prevention. To others, it means to freely do what they want with their body. Using a lot of air quotes, which is to say their child's body. People will use freedom to get away with a lot of things in this country when the law is not upheld, when the law is not enforced, or when the authorities aren't watching. Now, I make all these points because I'm going to come back to them later in our application as Christians to the concept of freedom, biblical freedom. We as Christians need to be wise in our application of freedom and not just transpose our idea of American freedom onto our understanding that the freedom of the Bible talks about. But how does our freedom as Christians compare and contrast to the idea of the freedom that Americans enjoy? What does the Bible say about that? And so I'm actually going to write on the board today. The title of today's lesson is Our Freedom. We're going to test and see if all the markers work this morning here. All right. Our freedom, meaning our freedom as Christians. And I have three main points today, and I'm going to give them to you all up front. I don't do that usually. And if you want all, I'm not writing all the Bible verses up, that would just take too long. But if you want all the Bible verses, I can give them to you later. Point number one, it's not thick enough. I want to make sure y'all can read this in the back. Point number one, is that our freedom is from sin and the law. Point number two is that our freedom requires responsibility. And point number three, that our freedom comes only when you're in Christ. So again, we're talking about our freedom. Our freedom is from sin and the law. Our freedom comes with responsibility, and our freedom only comes through Christ. So as I mentioned, I went and did a quick study on the terms that I mentioned. And in using a concordance, there's about 13 different instances of freedom, free, and liberty. Freedom four times, free five times, and liberty four times. And I'm going to use most of these this morning throughout the lesson, specifically the ones that prove these three points. The first one is that our freedom is from sin and the law, and hopefully you're there at Isaiah chapter 58. I am not, so I'll get there. In Isaiah chapter 58, we will see that our freedom is not from a tyrannical government far away that wants to subjugate us and tax us, like the founding of our country. Jesus did not come to free the Jews from an oppressive Roman government. He came to set the world free from sin and wickedness, to set us free from the law. In Isaiah 58, verse 6, God is saying, "Is this not the fast which I choose?" He's saying by this, in context, we won't go back and read what he's talking about. He's basically saying, "This is my will, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke." This is God's will. And we learn about it a page later in Isaiah 61. In the context of Jesus, this is the prophetic understanding of the Messiah that was to come, speaking from his perspective. Isaiah 61, verse 1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners." Again, this is a prophecy of the Messiah. But we know that he's not talking about literal, physical captives or prisoners. He's talking about freedom from sin and the law. And allow me to show you that from the New Testament. In Romans chapter 6, there's a few verses in Romans that talks about freedom. We're going to hit them both, or a few of them today, this morning. Romans 6. You're probably familiar with Romans chapter 6. We refer to it a lot when we talk about baptism, and I'm actually going to come back to it at the end. Romans 6, verse 7. "For he who has died is freed from sin." Now, again, I'll come back to it. This death to sin, this death that he's talking about, rolls right after he's talking about baptism. And he tells us that our freedom is from sin. One page over, chapter 8, verse 2. And I'll start with verse 1, because this is a concept that I'll touch on in the lesson as well. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death." So we can actually add death up here, but sin obviously leads to death. And so our freedom is from sin. Looking down there in verse 21 of the same chapter, Romans chapter 8, it says that the creation itself will also set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Freedom from corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So how does this compare and contrast to our freedom as Americans? So just like our American freedoms, we are free from tyrannical oppression. Jesus said, "His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He said that in Matthew chapter 11. I understand that passage to be a stark contrast intentionally with the Pharisees, of whom he said later in chapter 23, they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders. That's what a yoke is. But they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. Jesus is not a tyrannical, oppressive king. He does not force us to follow him like a tyrannical king would. But he lets us make our own choice. But we have to live with the consequences of that choice. In fact, he is the very one who gives us our freedom from sin and the law. But that's where this freedom is different. It's not freedom from a tyrannical political government. The first century Christians were actually told to obey those very governments that were persecuting them and killing them. But although I'm sure they would have loved to have been free from those types of governments, the freedom that Jesus provides is much more valuable. Our freedom is from sin and the law and death. Point number two is that our freedom comes with a responsibility. The first verse we'll look at is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. It used to be a commonly held belief that as an American, you are responsible for upholding the law and being a good citizen. Although I understand that's not as common as it used to be. Like, as a Marine, I'm responsible for upholding the values and the ethos of the Marine Corps. And as a Christian, you are responsible for upholding the values the Bible teaches that Christians should have. 1 Peter 2, verse 16. Peter says, "Act as free people, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondservants of God." We have a responsibility to use our freedom for good and not to use it to cover up for evil. Now, Paul talks about this. We won't turn to it, but Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 10, and he says, "All things are lawful for me." He's building up a hypothetical situation, but what he's talking about here is that we should not use our liberty through Christ as a license to do whatever we want. We have to live responsibly. Let's look at another example where the Bible discusses this freedom and this responsibility. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5:13. It says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Do you see the responsibility there? Like so many times we're taught in the scriptures, we have a responsibility to abstain from evil and to do what is good, serving one another and loving one another. We have a responsibility to help other Christians, to help the widows and orphans, to feed the hungry, give the thirsty something to drink, to invite in strangers, to clothe those in need of clothes, and to visit those who are sick or in prison, Matthew chapter 25. So let's compare and contrast that to our American freedoms. There are many in this country who still hold the values that state that your freedom comes with a responsibility, that you need to be a productive, valuable member of a society that provides you with so many wonderful benefits. But as I mentioned before, those values aren't always enforced and certainly aren't held by 100% of its citizens. They like to take advantage of it. Being free in Christ by virtue of his very sacrifice demands a response. It demands that you change and get better every day, studying and obeying his word. You have a responsibility to God and to others. You can't just convert and stay the same curmudgeon, treating others poorly, and doing whatever you want. And if you do not uphold this responsibility, you will be held accountable for it, because God isn't like earthly authorities. He's always watching, and he knows your heart. Our freedom comes with responsibility. And then our final point this morning is that our freedom is only in Christ. Apparently, this is a pretty quick lesson. Romans chapter 8, we'll go back kind of where we started. Romans 8. Now concerning things, I'm in the wrong place. I was in 1 Corinthians, like I mentioned before. Romans chapter 8. And I'll read 1 through 4. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We are free in Christ Jesus. Think back to the passages we read in Isaiah. It says, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. It is only through Christ and in Christ that this is possible. Much like being a citizen of this great country grants you many wonderful freedoms, you must be a citizen of the kingdom of God in order to have liberty in Christ and have the hope of eternal life. So how do you become free in Christ? Responding to the gospel is the way that you do that. You first must hear the truth. Another word, or another time that the scriptures use freedom, free, is in John 8:36. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Another place, I think it's in Isaiah, where it says, how beautiful are the feet that carry the good news. They're beautiful feet. As dirty as it was, as feet are, especially in the society where that was written, they were called beautiful because they brought the good news. They brought the truth that can set people free. First, you must hear it. Then you must believe it. In Acts chapter 13, verse 38, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. I read the wrong verse. Whatever verse I meant to read, I've got it in my notes. By him, everyone who believes is freed from everything which you could not be freed by the law of Moses.
39.
I was one off. Thank you. Whoever believes is freed. And it's through belief that we can achieve our freedom. We must also repent. We read in Romans chapter 6 earlier, Romans chapter 6, verse 7. He who has died is freed from sin. And if you think about it, repentance is part of that process of dying to sin. When you repent, you turn away from, you no longer want to do those things that you did before. You no longer do those things that you did before. Repentance is the process of dying to that sin. Confession is the next one. And our confession is more than just saying the words that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's pledging your allegiance to him. You confess that I am a follower of Christ. I'm a follower of God now. It's acknowledging that you're no longer a slave to the law and to sin, but you are a servant to the Most High God, a slave to righteousness, free from the law and sin. Next, you must be baptized. Romans 6:3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We receive our freedom when we are baptized into Christ. And in Romans 8:1-4, as we read before, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then finally, we must live faithfully. We read Galatians 5:1. It was for our freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. In 1 Peter, Peter said it similarly in 1 Peter. I'll give you one more verse, and it's in James. James 1:25. It says, "But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." The NIV says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Once we have responded to the gospel, don't forget from which place you came. Remember what you have been forgiven of, and don't return back to it. Live faithfully unto the end. So this is another responsibility that we have when we are given our freedom in Christ. A responsibility to remain faithful until the end so that we can receive the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. So if you need any assistance in releasing the bonds of wickedness and receiving freedom in Christ, won't you come now as we stand and sing?
As soon as I get the song.
I caught you by surprise, I know. Yes. That was a lot faster than even I thought it was going to be.